Hey, everybody. Harold Fisher here, WHUR. Boy, I tell you, it has been a huge, huge week. And a lot of folks are truly famished this week. Time to get your fill. And tonight, on the Insight segment, we're going to tell you how. You've heard the term feast or famine. Well, feasting is really important for Black-owned restaurants right now with the start of Black Restaurant Week. Starts today for the D.C. Metro. Now, since the pandemic shut down, businesses have experienced a financial famine because restaurants were first closed and then at limited capacity, 50% at most. Well, joining me now to talk about Restaurant Week is Derek Robinson, Marketing Director for Black Restaurant Week. If you own a restaurant and you want to share your story, how you've handled things during the course of the pandemic, and what's your favorite dish, we're going to allow shout-outs. This is one of the few times that we allow shout-outs on this program, but we do want to help support Black businesses. So give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us at Harold Fisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Derek, how are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. A little hungry. Been working today.
Okay. Yeah. Hope we have a really great list of options for you to partake in after this is over.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see if, considering, where we are right now in the pandemic, some restaurants are still struggling. But they're still doing the curbside service. Some people are doing the eating outside, but, the temperatures are going to change. And so we really have to try to figure out how all of that works. But before we even get into that, let's talk a little bit about Black Restaurant Week in the D.C. Metro.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is our first time in the market. We're so excited to be here in the area, just putting on an opportunity for folks to bring awareness to restaurants that are in the neighborhoods. This is our sixth stop, I would consider, on our entire tour for 2020. We got started in Houston, Texas in 2016. It was a one-week experience. The support was overwhelming, and everyone was like, well, we need more time. We need more time. And so it went from 1 week over into 2 weeks, and that's when we started taking it across the country. First was Atlanta and then the Bay Area, and then it's expanded to what we are today, and we just left Atlanta last week, and now here we are in the greater Washington, D.C. region. And so we're really excited to be able to highlight restaurants as far as Baltimore all the way down into Fredericksburg, so like those Virginia counties.
How about that? So talk to me a little bit about what you've heard from Black restaurant owners, not just locally, but across the country since the pandemic shutdown.
It's a mix of things, to be honest. We're just blessed to have an opportunity to have our business highlight these restaurants for those who are in need. This year we have, since we did our campaign start in July in Houston, restaurants are able to sign up for free, because it's all about being able to get them the support and the resources that they need. Prior to the launch of everything, we did a tech week just giving some other solutions about how restaurants can pivot, operationally, financially, to make sure they're staying sustainable for at least for this year, right? For also just for the years to come. And just the conversations we've had is that, thank you guys for coming to my restaurant. Thank you for highlighting my restaurant. I'm able to have my doors open for another month. And, there's more folks have come from all over just to support my restaurant. I'm going to be good for the rest of the year. It's just been a range of excitement from folks who are participating in the Black Restaurant Week campaign. We hear about other restaurants that are unfortunately. I mean, I just read a story from in Austin about how some restaurants are closing for good due to, of course, they aren't able to handle the COVID experience and the the results of what's going on now. But, you know, Restaurant Week is giving these companies, businesses, another fighting chance to keep their doors open. And, you know, the holiday seasons are coming. So, you know, if we can are able to just sustain those businesses for this moment and then also all the way down to the end of, you know, to a brand new year, that would be very successful for this moment. But, again, for make sure that these folks are patroning these businesses for years to come.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Black Restaurant Week. It started today in the D.C. Metro, part of a huge national campaign to keep Black restaurant owners afloat. If you own a restaurant, you want to briefly share your story, how you've been able to handle the pandemic shutdown, and maybe throw out what your favorite dish is, we welcome your phone call. And if you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to you. We will be taking your phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock. So please keep trying. We have Lloyd Smith on the phone. He is the owner of Crave It on Main in Upper Marlboro in Prince George's County. Hey, Lloyd, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. As I said, I'm a little hungry. And I'm going to have to address that in less than an hour. That's my plan. But talk to me about how things have been for you since between March and now.
Well, we opened up 2 months ago, so it was a rough opening because of COVID. But, I mean, we got all the permits. Everything went through. It was pretty smooth with that. But, I mean, lately we've been doing carryout, and we've been doing all the Uber Eats and the Grubhubs. And just trying to maintain. So, you know, the people in the community have, you know, came out strong in Upper Marlboro area and supported us, which is a good thing. So we've been maintaining.
Mm-hmm. Were there any points, you know, early in the shutdown where you were really, really concerned?
Oh, definitely. Yes, yes, yes. When the county shut down all the buildings and you couldn't go in and get permits, you had to do everything online. I mean, that was kind of a struggle, but we got through it. So I had doubts, but I'm all in. So I had to go with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Did you have to let anybody go?
Well, I came off of a food truck. So we had food trucks. So we didn't hire extra people for the restaurant because we were just using the people off the food truck. So we were able to do apartment complexes with the food truck to keep everybody employed until the restaurant opened. So, no, I didn't have to let anybody go. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that story right there, Lloyd, is really critical because Derek was just talking about making a pivot in the midst of the pandemic shutdown. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, your customers, they just see your place as good food. But from your, you know, from your perspective, this is money in, money out. There are livelihoods at stake.
Yes, and you hate to let people go, man, because, you know, they got family and you just don't want to let them go. So I try to do everything I could not to let them go. Mm.
Well, I appreciate that. So what's your favorite? What's the thing that folks come in to order
all the time?
Oh, man, we
sell a lot of catfish, man. A lot of catfish, shrimp po' boys, oyster po' boys, shrimp po' boys. So, yes, and the banana pudding. We sell a lot of that. So, a lot of seafood. We sell a lot of seafood.
So, wait a minute. Hold on. You said po' boys. That's Louisiana cooking.
It is.
Anybody over there from Louisiana, or you just kind of, just picked up a recipe or two or 12?
I picked it up from visiting Louisiana a lot. So I just wanted to bring it in. Once I knew I was going to do brick and mortar, I wanted to bring some of that in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lloyd Smith, what's your address, Lloyd, for Craving on Main?
14710 Main Street, right almost across from the court building, PG County Court Building.
Well, there you go. Lloyd, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We really appreciate you, and we're so glad to hear that you have been able to keep your business alive because at least in one sense or another, things are seeming to open up just a little bit more, and maybe that'll help continue to keep you afloat, Lloyd.
Yeah, man, we need it, but, you know, we're going to keep fighting the fight, buddy, for sure.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Lloyd. Thanks so much. You know, and you know, Derek, that's one of the great stories that we hear from restaurant owners. Because look, even when restaurants, pre-pandemic, managing a restaurant, particularly for black-owned restaurateurs, it's rough work.
Right. And again, that's what we try to do. Bringing out the awareness to these restaurants that are in the area, just like Crave. I know, that's very unheard of, right? To say you have Louisiana food or you have Creole food up north. There's always that folks are always going to miss out on. Maybe they didn't get a chance to go down to New Orleans or Metairie or Baton Rouge or maybe go back home. Things of that nature, and being able to highlight that in that area up north where there's nothing but seafood, but like crab cakes and things of that nature. That's the beauty of our model. We showcase it all, and the beauty from him going from a food truck to a brick and mortar in the midst of COVID is an amazing story as well, too. Just what he was talking about before. I have stories on end really about how different restaurants have had to do exactly what he's mentioned about, hey, I just opened 2 days ago, 2 days ago. I didn't even know COVID was going to take go this route, do this alarming, destruction, what I thought was, to my business. And so, for example, one of the restaurants here in Houston, where we're headquartered, they had just opened in May, and Black Restaurant Week in Houston started in July. And, when we say once the part of the process and we got things going and moving, there was a 2-hour wait to get
wow.
so it was just that amazing. And we just have other individuals who are just doing that across the country, and we're hoping for the same for the region. And again, going back to my man from Crave It, that's beautiful. Can't wait to highlight him on our platform this week, making sure folks go out to the suburbs and be able to support him in PG County. Especially he's so close and so in its proximity next across the street from the courthouse, I believe. I think that's a prime location for him to be able to really really stay sustainable for the rest of the year and probably for years to come.
Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black Restaurant Week in the D.C. Metro. Let's go to James Smith, owner of Jerk and Jive Restaurant in Frederick, Maryland. Hey, James, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Okay, so I was, Jerk and Jive Caribbean Restaurant. Where's your accent? I was expecting a yaman.
The ladies in the back, they have the accent. My job was pretty much just to, put the business in place and try to get people through the door. So, but the ladies in the back, they definitely have the accent.
Well, we're glad to hear that you are authentic.
If you come try the food, you'll see.
I have no doubt. So, James, talk to me about how things have been for your restaurant since March up until now.
Well, in March, when COVID first hit, we were hit pretty hard, and just trying to navigate and understand exactly how things were going to go, because we were in a different situation where we had a carryout up and running, and that's been in business for 3 years now. But we were in the process of opening a full-service sit-down restaurant with a full bar and waiters and, a full-serve staff. When COVID hit, it was a little tough to get, the ball rolling, like you said, like the first gentleman said, with inspections and, getting the doors open. And then once, we've been open now for about 3 weeks, and we're getting a little bit of a push for dinner, but our lunch, people are just still nervous about coming indoors. So we're still doing pretty good business at the carryout, but the full service places, it's a little slow right now.
So you said you've been open for 3 weeks, but you didn't just start thinking about this 3 weeks ago. Talk to me about your thought process over the past several months as you were preparing to do that.
Yeah, so we started the build out of the new location back in November of 2019. Mm-hmm. So pretty much as we got into the May, June, timeframe, we pretty much just had to keep pushing forward to open up. because, you know, obviously once you sign a lease, the landlord, you know, wants to get paid. Contractors, you know, want their money. So we had to keep moving forward, even though we had to deal with COVID. So we put some tents outside. We used some sidewalks and things like that to give people outdoor seating. And, you know, I put music out there. I have lighting out there, just trying to create atmosphere, you know, for the people so they can still enjoy the music and the fun, you know, while enjoying our food as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the thing that concerns you the most as you move toward opening and now are 3 weeks in?
My concern is another, you know, outbreak. You know, I don't want to get, you know, a nice rhythm going, a nice flow. You know, I have 24 employees over at the new location. The last thing I want is for, you know, another outbreak and us for have to slow down the progress and have to start over again.
What's your website and your address as I get ready to move to a break in about a minute or so?
Okay. The website is jerkandjivebar.com. And okay. The address is 490 Prospect Boulevard. That's in Frederick, Maryland, 21701.
And what's your, you know, your most popular dish?
It would have to be our coconut shrimp, and really, it's probably a tie between that and the oxtails. Oh. We probably sell, I don't know, about 350 pounds of oxtail a week. So, you know, those are our two popular dishes.
Is that coconut shrimp fried or sauteed?
It is a flash fry with our own signature coconut cream sauce. So it's nothing like you've ever had. It's not, you know, your run-of-the-mill Outback Steakhouse coconut shrimp. This is something that's original to Jerk and Jive.
All right. Sounds really, okay. Really
like
good. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Like
I'm James Smith with Jerk and Jive Bar up there in Frederick. Thank you so much. We're just getting started. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black Restaurant Week in the D.C. Metro. If you own a restaurant, give us a call. We want to give you a little shout out, find out how you're doing, how you've survived during the pandemic shutdown, talk about your favorite dish, throw out a website, and save me a plate. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, the original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. 202-319-7810. I'm wiping my lips here. Yes, we'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the impact of Black Restaurant Week in the D.C. Metro starts today, goes through next week. My guest is Derek Robinson, Marketing Director for Black Restaurant Week. That's so hard to say. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Grant calling from D.C., D.C. Shy Pie Pizza.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Harold. First of all, I want to thank you and the gentleman. I didn't catch his name.
Derek Robinson.
Derek Robinson. Thank you guys for this platform. This is excellent, and this is much needed in our community.
How long have you been in business, Derek, Grant?
So we just started in March. And
wow.
I'll tell you the quick story.
Sure.
My wife and I were in Chicago in the early part of March celebrating my best friend's birthday. While we were there, we got deep dish pizza. And as soon as we got back, we got hit with the quarantine. 2 weeks into the quarantine, she wanted a deep dish pizza. And we were going to order a mail order from Chicago from our favorite restaurant. And when we discovered how much it was going to cost, I told her, for that cost, I'll make you a pizza. And so we got a mixer. I got made some dough, let it sit in the process, made two pizzas, put them on Instagram and Facebook, and the rest is history.
So wait a minute. Just hold on just 1 second here. So now, before March, what did you do for a living?
I'm a pastor.
Oh.
Okay.
And what about your wife?
My wife works for Prince George's County Public School System.
Okay, so talk about a shift.
I love it.
Prayer. Yeah.
And one of the things we were telling the congregation was, don't come out of this period empty-handed. This, I believe that we've been given the gift of time, and we look at Corona as from a negative perspective, but we've been given the gift of time, and we've been allotted time to do some things and be creative. And I kind of was preaching that prior to us going in, and lo and behold, nowhere in the forecast or anything that we think we would have a pizza business like in April of 2020.
So how did that work for you between March and now? Were there any ups? Were there any downs? How would you describe your...
It's really been crazy, because from the first day that we declared officially that this would be a business, I think the first week we sold like 51 pies. And since then, the trajectory has just skyrocketed. And it's all been based on Facebook and Instagram. We haven't advertised yet. We haven't done any, media outlets or anything like that. It's all been word of mouth. And I'm meeting people on a daily basis I've never met before over this pizza.
Wow. Well, look, Grant, congratulations. Do you have a website, or what's your Instagram handle? And
So our website, we're going to launch and go public in the next 2 weeks. And the website will be thedcshypie.com. Our Instagram and Facebook page is thedcshypie at Facebook and at Instagram.
Real quick, why Shy Pie? Why not, Heavenly Pizza or Angelic Dough?
Chicago is known for their deep dish style pizza. They kind of have the lock on that,
right,
style of pizza. And so I wanted to bring the Shy Pie or the Chicago style deep dish to the District of Columbia. That's why we call it the DC Shy Pie.
Oh, as in DCCHI.
It's THEDCCHIPIE.
There you go. Makes sense. Look,
that's it.
Grant, congratulations to you, and your wife. And, look, in these rough times, stay prayed up. I don't have to tell you that. So
yes,
thank
sir.
You so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Angela calling from D.C. Angela, what are you working on?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. You must be selling energy drinks.
We have all kinds of good. We have detox drinks.
Who is we? What's the name of your restaurant?
Who is we?
What's the name of your restaurant?
Sinbeb Cafe.
Say again.
Sinbeb Cafe.
As in Sinbad the Sailor?
No. Sinbeb. It means to have good health.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. I'm listening.
It's a vegan cafe. We're on 3rd Street Northwest, but we've been in business since 1991.
Wow.
We have been open the whole time for carry out for COVID. And we also have a vegan health food store. And we are sincerely Black owned and loving our community.
So, I ask everyone this, and I'm sure you're prepared for this, but, for you, because, the two owners that I've spoken to before. They're relatively new in the business. One of them very new. But, you know, 1999, your restaurant is
91.
Okay, yeah. 91. Your restaurant is older than my child. You know, so.
Well, we were on Georgia Avenue for some time, for 17 years, and then we moved to 3rd Street in 2006.
So tell me what happened for the restaurant and the business part of it when the shutdown hit us in March.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody was scrambling. You know, we had to put up shields. Plexiglass so we could protect the workers, make sure everybody had masks and gloves and hand sanitizer. You know, you had to have all of those things available. But fortunately, we have a really good staff. Our manager, Ms. Johnson, is really on top of it, and she's been working to get all of the resources that are available to businesses. You know, our city and our mayor has really been looking out for businesses in the city. So she's been able to, you know, get all of those resources that are needed to keep the business going. And our community, I'm telling you, there are a lot of Black vegans out here. And even
yes.
if they're not
oh,
vegan,
absolutely.
They like our mm-hmm. food because we have soul food. And so even if right. there are plenty of people that come here who are not vegan, and they come and they support. They've been supporting us the whole time. And that's how we stayed open. And again, we also have, there's a health food store right next door to the cafe. So we just invite the community to come in, try it. You might like it. Some people, some churches are doing, you know, certain things. They're doing certain fasts and they're doing certain, not eating meat or whatever. And their parishioners come through. And we have people that come and just want to see different aspects of food in D.C., and they come through here, and we're just thankful. We're very thankful for the community, and we wish everyone who is in venturing into, you know, business as a Black business owner, you know, we wish them well. We're a collective here, too. It's not just one person that's running it. Ms. Johnson is the manager, so she's doing a lot of the work here, but we have some other people who are part of the collective since the 90s.
So,
people who have graduated from Howard University and so forth and so on. So we're just very thankful.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Real quick, if you can, let me have the full name again and your website and your address real quick.
So the full name is Senbeb Cafe. That's S, E as in elephant, N as in nose, B as in baby, E as in elephant, B as in baby again, and that's cafe. The website is www.senbebcafe.com. So just run it all together, Senbeb Cafe. We're also on Facebook at Senbeb Cafe as well, and you can join our frequent buyers club when you come in, and after 10 purchases, you get $7 off your next meal. So you can catch us on all of those different mediums, and we post sometimes regularly and sometimes not, but you can find our menu there and directions and all of that.
Okay, Angela, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate
you
sharing with us.
Supporting us.
You're welcome.
Absolutely, and certainly good luck to you in this business venture. I need to take a real quick break right here. We have some breaking news coming into the newsroom right now. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died.
Yeah, I just saw that myself. Yeah,
hold on. That Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she died at her home here in Washington. The court has just made an announcement. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was 87 years old. She died of complications of metastatic pancreatic cancer. She was well known as a champion of gender equality. She was appointed to the court by President Bill Clinton. This is something that many progressives have been fearing for quite some time. She has been in difficult health and has had several challenges related to her health over the past several years, but has been very public about trying to be as healthy as she possibly can. There are certainly many videos or documentaries showing her, you know, lifting weights and continuing to walk. But Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died at her home in Washington, D.C. That announcement coming from the U.S. Supreme Court. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was 87 years old. I need to take just a quick break. But when we come back, we will continue with our conversation about Black Restaurant Week in the DMV. Just a quick break, about a minute or so, and then we'll be back to take more of your phone calls to talk about this really, really important business event for Black restaurants. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I just wanted to give you yet another update. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died of pancreatic cancer. The U.S. Supreme Court making this announcement less than 30 minutes ago, maybe about 15 minutes ago. She died at the age of 87, had been on the court since the 1990s, a crusader for women's rights and a stalwart progressive on the court. There's been a lot of concern among progressives and as well as other political types who may have been considered, you know, middle of the road about where the court is going to be going should we lose Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And so now a lot of those questions will be part of a discussion that we will be hearing over the next several days and weeks. So again, just to let you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, has died of pancreatic cancer at the age of 87. I want to take a hard turn now and go back to the issue at hand. Of course, we're talking about Black Restaurant Week here in the D.C. Metro. I want to go to Prince. Prince, he owns a West African bar and grill. Prince, I'm going to need you to pronounce that name. I'm still working on my Wakanda, Prince. So... So Apio?
Yes, sir.
So how long have you been in business?
This is our 7th year.
Oh, congratulations. Wonderful.
Thank
wonderful.
You.
Now, and you are where?
We are on 9th Street, closer to U Street. So the address is 1924 9th Street, in the basement.
Okay. So... how have things been for you during the pandemic shutdown? Because being in that U Street entertainment corridor prior to that, I'm sure you never had much time to even rest.
Talking about rest, there's no time, there's no rest for the weary head, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we didn't have much to do during the period, you know, of course, sales was down. We were operating about maybe 10-15% of our capacity. We stayed with the takeout orders and deliveries. We were using Grubhub, DoorDash. But it also gave us time to, delve into new things. Like, for example, we've been trying to develop something new. And we were able to do it. We did the Ghost Burgers, which I've been working on it for years, trying to make something out of goats to appeal to the whole, goat-loving market. And I finally came out with it. So we've been featuring the Ghost Burgers since then. We were also able to work on our seafood okra, which we use like shrimp, you know, how you call it, shrimp, fish, and calamari and stuff like that to create a West African flavored shrimp okra stew.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of our workers, you know, we have to, of course, cut down kitchen hours. So basically, we just had one cook come in, and then the front, you know, of course, we're a small restaurant, you know, that big.
Right.
But because of the volume of orders that were coming through, we had to cut down and had maybe one person in the front a day. But the city and, you know, they've helped us a lot.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm sure I have more calls, and I want to make sure I get to as many people as possible. Let me have your website address, and what is your actual address, so that we can, you know, let you do that shout out, just as we have during the earlier parts of the program.
Okay, so the website is apioafricanbargrill.com.
Spell that for me, please.
Apio, A as in apple, P as in Paul, P as in Paul, I as in I, O as in orange, O as in orange, and then africanbargrill.com.
Well, there you go.
The
address, yes, please.
1924 9th Street, Northwest, D.C., in the basement.
In the basement. Well, Prince, I'm sure I'm sure you're cooking up West African dishes fit for king and queen.
Absolutely.
So, yes, sir.
So, look,
yes,
Prince, thank you so much for giving us a call and sharing your experience during the pandemic. And, you know, we wish you only the best as we see things open up even just a little bit. So thank you so much. We really appreciate your phone call.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to me.
Absolutely. Derek, I wanted to go back to you because one of the things that I was really curious about, and that is we've been talking about D.C. Restaurant Week, but this is just, you know, one region, you know, among a host of other regions. You know, Houston, you did the Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Ohio, you know, Los Angeles.
Right.
You did the Bay Area, Atlanta. In talking to these owners, what is the thing that they've told you that they've had to really learn? What is the lesson that they've learned that you perhaps would like to share with some of the other restaurant owners listening?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to talk about that. I want to let some of the restaurant owners kind of tell their story.
Oh, sure,
but,
sure.
You know, just going back to a few folks. I know DC Shy Pie. I know he was mentioning Instagram and his website and things of that nature. But you know what we've told a lot of restaurants is that they've learned some new things. Like, you know, everyone's had that story about, hey, my family told me I need to open my own restaurant because I cook good food. Great, that's fine. But a lot of sometimes when they do that, they don't lace themselves with the business knowledge to be able to really stay ahead of the game like some of the other competitors, if you will. So when we come into and try to help some of these restaurant owners, you know, we see that from a distance, but sometimes they also say, hey, you know, we just need to have more foot traffic, or, you know, sometimes our menu is lacking and things of that nature. So, you know, sometimes we come in and help them, of course, post their experience, but, you know, prior to that their experience within Black Restaurant, we can just try to tell them, hey, have a decent menu where folks, it's easily digestible. So just a weekly special of four or five items, or if it's a happy hour, do a quick happy hour special if you have a bar. And then beyond that, you know, another pivoting option that we've seen folks have done and we try to challenge and encourage them to do is to stay abreast with the digital age. You know, in the midst of social media, the power of hashtags, the power of of making sure you have good photography. You know, iPhones are amazing. Even Androids are amazing if you are on a budget, being able to really promote your business. And what we always try to tell folks is breathe life into your brand as well, too. Breathe life into the fun that you have in the kitchen. You know, show us who you are. Show us who your employees are. Show the patrons who they are. Show your food. And the owner from Appio, and so happy that he's a part of the restaurant week this year, just highlighting that Ghanaian cuisine. You know, the goat burger is something very, very unique. And, you know, I have a lot of ties back into the African continent because I have a lot of great friends who are Nigerian. And they showcase the suya and the jollof rice and the meat pies. And just being able to showcase individuals what that means and showcasing their culture. But, you know, that's the way a lot of our restaurants have pivoted, is just being able to showcase their food and build upon these other opportunities. Like I know we in Atlanta, we had a partnership with Black & Mobile, one of the other third-party delivery services, which was amazing. Some individuals have taken their traditional meals, some of those recipes and plates that sell very well, and they made them into go options. And just pairing that with food and drinks that's according to, you know, the guidelines and restrictions in their area. You know, they've done brunch kits where they've provided individuals with a whole entire meal of waffles, eggs, bacon. And, you know, that's something they sell out on a weekly basis. So it's just being able to really do some research, but also just making sure you're smart about what you're really providing folks. Because, you know, yes, you want to provide everyone with 100 items, but now we got to get tight. We got to get right. So only serve about maybe those top five to seven items that you have, and then you may want to introduce something new just in this midst of folks doing a lot of delivery services and just staying in that area just to see what the market takes place. But just for sustainability, just do some of the things that are your top sellers and make those into go options, which have been really successful for some of the restaurants across the region.
Are you as well? You know, the reporting has been, for so many businesses, but particularly restaurants, since March, that people were being laid off, and some restaurants just could not sustain themselves. I think the irony is that some of the more expensive non-chain restaurants had been hit particularly hard. But it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is it true that it seems that, you know, some of the Black businesses, the small ones, you know, like, like Prince's Restaurant, Apu, or the other ones, they were able to kind of hold their own, maybe because of their size?
Yeah. And that goes back to, you know, what I was going to mention as well, too. I know, for one owner, we've heard up north, it was mentioned about how they had just got a restaurant and they just signed a 15-year lease. And, you know, and I'm going to exaggerate here, but, you know, the size of the restaurant is the size of Walmart in the South. And all they really needed was just, is probably about, you know, the size of a restaurant of probably like 10 aisles, or, you know, checkout aisle. You know, and it's just like, you're paying all this huge overhead for the rent. So now you're fighting with the landlord, or you're fighting with the owners, and how, you know, you have to consolidate. And that's what I was alluding to before, that, you know, consolidation is important when it comes to these times, when it comes to restaurants, how to really tighten up on your operations, how to really make sure that you're staying financially well in these spaces. You know, some folks, you know, it may be an opportunity. Maybe you can bring in another restaurant, another Black-owned restaurant in your space. I know in L.A., there was a restaurant out there, a Caribbean restaurant, Who's Hungry L.A., they're in an old Taco Bell location, and they just revitalized that, and there's two different concepts. It's a Caribbean spot, and it's in a donut shop. Yeah. So little things like that. Now, if you're able to even have some folks come in and do something really cool and neat as far as making a food collective, that's how we can all stay abreast, especially in a market like D.C., in the area. That'd be really neat to see, especially with food halls and things of that nature, taking on a possible concept of that. Yeah. Would definitely be cool to keep those restaurants sustainable.
Well, Derek, I want to thank you for talking to us about Black Restaurant Week here in D.C. We really appreciate it. And look, keep doing what you're doing. And thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having us on today.
Absolutely. Before we go, we want to remind you of the breaking news that has come out of the U.S. Supreme Court today. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died at the age of 87. She died of complications from metastatic pancreatic cancer. She announced back in July that she was undergoing chemotherapy treatments for lesions on her liver. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had been on the U.S. Supreme Court for 27 years. She was appointed by President Bill Clinton. Young women especially seem to embrace the court's Jewish mother, as she was called. They called her the notorious RBG. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, dead tonight at the age of 87. That is the Daily Drum for this Friday, September 18th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Ramonte Bryant and Millette Green, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.